There's been so much to talk about in the 2024 Formula One season already, and it hasn't just been the action on the track. There's daddy issues, leaked text messages, and sexual harassment. Lewis is leaving for Ferrari, Max has pretty much already won the championship, and Valtteri Bottas is pretending to be Australian. I'm Matt.
I'm Caitlin.
This is the Formula Fun Podcast. Again, finally, stick around. All right, podding.
Indeed.
All right, before we get into the juiciest news, a little bit of banter.
Mm-hmm.
You got any banter?
Just like off the dome,
off
some
the
banter.
Dome.
No, but
I mean,
was kind of thinking.
How you feeling? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking like this juicy stuff is kind of like, you know, it's been kind of juiced.
It's been kind of juiced, but we haven't talked about it.
An orange that's, you know, kind of like
juiced.
Mid. Well, not fully juiced, but.
I mean, that's okay.
Okay.
You know, I mean, still, I mean, the Christian Horney saga.
Yeah.
Which I have to give you credit for that joke.
It's okay. You didn't have to. No one needed to know.
But you were legitimately the first person I heard say that.
Really? That's
I think
astounding.
So. But I know because it kind of writes
it's
itself.
It's right there. Maybe it's like
the
so
the door
obvious
was wide open
that,
for
like,
it. But
you can't see
you'd
it.
You think of all the places, you know, the internet. You know, what am I trying to say? Like,
yeah,
it, you
like,
know, like it's right there.
Yeah, maybe it's just not very funny. So people were like, ugh,
yeah.
I can do better. But
yeah.
I was like, this is
like
all I got.
Like, everybody don't say that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, come on, we're
as
not
a society,
we're not saying
we
that,
decided
right?
decided as a fandom. And
but
I
really,
was like,
are we not stooping
Christian
to that?
Horny?
Low? That's the low we're not stooping to as a society?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
excited.
Yeah,
we can talk about that in a little bit. You're excited about the season?
I am. There's a lot of exciting things happening.
Yeah, that's actually kind of what, that's the banter I wanted to talk about was, does Formula One suck?
No.
No, it doesn't, right? But that's like, you know, like viewership is down.
It. What do you mean down? Like this season?
Down from the last couple of seasons.
Good.
I know. It's kind of good, right? Because I think it's...
Because
Max
just
dominates.
Being dominant? I know, but someone's always dominant. I mean, it was
exactly.
Hamilton for the last 10 years or whatever.
7 years in a row. Well, Rosberg won one of those 7 years, but...
Right.
Yeah, Mercedes dominated 7 years in a row. Red Bull dominated 4 years in a row.
But there's
Ferrari
always
dominated.
Shenanigans. I mean, there's always that, like, you know, you're like, maybe this race there will be shenanigans.
And not just that, but it's kind of, there's all, well, for one thing, there's always something else to be watching for and something else to be paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, somebody's always going to be doing a better job than somebody else. That's just
right.
the nature of the
right.
sport. That's the nature of all sports.
I guess the Max Hamilton season was so exciting.
Yeah, 2021.
And so I could see like viewership going down after that. Like once people realized it wasn't going to like keep
can't
going
be like
that
every
that.
Year.
Yeah.
yeah. And even that was kind of fraudulent, the final race.
Yeah.
We don't have to relive that. Okay. I think viewership has gone down because, oops, I hit a stinger. I hit a
what?
Thing. I hit a thing on the pad on accident.
I don't think a noise happened.
It did.
Oh.
That's what I mean. I hit a little pad thing, but that's okay. We're not going to edit it out. We're just going to roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think viewership has gone down because, this is my hot take, my theory, like everyone got all... excited because of Drive to Survive and then they realize they don't actually care about Formula One and they're like moved on to the next
but Drive
thing.
To Survive has been going for like 6 years.
Yes, this is the sixth year and I think it had like a peak and now it's like returning reverting to the mean would be
yeah.
the statistical
But we've got all these like races in the U.S.
And yeah, true.
New ownership and.
Oh, speaking of which, this is way off topic and who really cares, but Liberty Media just like today bought MotoGP, the motorcycle racing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing. But yeah, anyway,
like
so.
You know, like race motorcycles like around the White House or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah. Dirt the race. National Mall. I guess they do that already. Yeah, I got some stats about domination because this is a real podcast.
Okay.
So obviously we already said Ferrari won 5 in a row, Red Bull won 4 in a row.
These are like season so far stats? What are
no,
these?
No. These are like historical. Oh, okay. How like you pointed out how like there's always been somebody dominating, right?
We're talking about championships.
Yeah, championships and okay. Just like race wins and stuff. But yeah, so Ferrari and Schumacher won 5 in a row from 2000 to 2024. And it was like they won like every race.
Mm-hmm.
In most of those seasons. So is
and that's how it was with Hamilton.
Right.
Too.
Even to the point where like the FIA like changed the rules because they were like, you guys are too dominant.
Mm-hmm.
So Red Bull and Vettel won 4 in a row, 2010 to 2013. Mercedes with Hamilton and Rosberg won 7 in a row, as we know. McLaren and Williams won every constructors championship between 1984 and 94. So it was like nobody else could touch McLaren's and Williams for 10 years. In 1988, McLaren won all but one race, just like
wow,
Max did.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So
wait, Max did that?
Max did that last year, won all but one race.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
So in fact, speaking
that's
of which.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No wonder no one's watching.
I know. So the last.
I mean, I was watching races.
We did not watch Vegas.
No.
Which is the first time in
there
like a long
so
time
many
we
races.
Haven't watched a race.
It
yeah,
was,
there's too many.
It, there
That's
were
another
too many.
Thing.
Yeah.
The last 22 races, only two people have won. Do you remember who they are?
The last two races?
No, the last 22, only two drivers have won.
The from now to the...
Going back 22
races. Going back
22
races, only two people have won?
Yeah. Obviously, Max is one of them.
And who just won? Carlos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carlos won in Singapore last year, and he won in Australia this year, and Max has won all the other races.
Interesting.
Yeah. Max has won 34 out of the last 43 races.
Did Carlos, was Singapore, did Max retire that one too? Or
I don't remember.
I know, because I'm like, is he like either on the track he wins or off the track?
No, I don't think he retired. I think they just had like a difficult time getting the car set up right, and it just wasn't well suited to the track or something.
Yep,
he like qualified 11th or something like that.
Yeah,
and
that sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, so like, I did a little bit of maths, and I'm not a math guy or whatever, but it's like not about 90% of championships since 98 have been won by only three teams.
Yeah, right. It's the story of F1. I mean,
right.
So yeah, I mean, yeah.
So this is nerdy of me, but I have been reading a book by Ross Braun, as you know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And in it, there's a quote from the Sun Tzu. You familiar
mm-hmm,
with
yes,
the Art of
yes.
War, right? And he uses it to talk about exactly what we're talking about right now. That, okay. So here's the quote. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm just going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It says, "Therefore, the skillful leader subdues the enemy without any fighting. He captures their cities without laying siege to them. He overthrows their kingdom without lengthy operations in the field. With his forces intact, he will dispute the mastery of the empire, and thus, without losing a man, his triumph will be complete." So you're like, why did I just do that? I can see it in your face.
But why did you just say the quote?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why do you think I said the quote?
Well, I was thinking about how, like, in Civilization, the computer game, Sid Meier's
right.
Civilization,
yeah, yeah. No,
shout
I'm
out,
super
Civ
familiar.
5.
Yeah.
That you could, like, be just strong enough and like culturally important enough to where you wouldn't have to like militaristically expand. You could just
right.
have like cultural
mm-hmm.
Clout and like cities would just like choose to be become part of your empire.
Right.
I mean, that's how I always did it because it's
yeah.
really hard to like win,
win
battles.
Wars.
Yeah.
yeah.
And that's what the quote made me
yeah,
think.
Yeah. Sun Tzu's like, good generals don't have to fight wars.
Yeah.
And that's what Ross Brawn's point was. He says in Formula One, the best strategists have won before they even get on the track. If you're someone who loves intense racing, that can be a disappointing because winning looks too easy. But if you're interested in how you get to the position where winning looks easy, then you will find the sport more complex and subtle than any ever invented.
Yeah, I vibe with that. There's truth in that for sure. Just so many factors go into like a race day.
Exactly.
So if you can just be like a well-oiled machine with like a super, like, just you have the holistic, like the package, you know,
right,
then you can insulate yourself a little bit from all the, like, you know, temperature and like other, you know, the chaos of the
strategy.
Track. Yeah.
Like, I'm interested in why Red Bull is better than Williams, not the fact that Max is going to win the race because he beats Alex Albon on track necessarily. You know what I'm trying to say? You know, like, it's interesting to me.
That's probably part of it.
That's part of it. I like watching the cars drive around and all that too. That's interesting also. But those two things factor in together to make Formula One very, very, very interesting to me. So
yeah, right. It's not just the,
fast cars go fast. Who's going to come in first? You know, anyway. So
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So I was interested too. I mean, I knew you weren't going to say Formula One is boring. I was just kind of trying to stoke the flames of conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, viewership is down. Like, engagement online is down like 40% on Twitter or something like that, I saw, since the last two seasons. Because people are just like checking out. They're like, I don't. But I think it's seriously because like they peaked. They were like, new fans came in and they were like, wow, look, fast cars, and
yeah,
then they,
like,
don't
so
know
sexy.
What they're
look
watching
at,
you know,
rich, yeah,
and then they like, they're like, oh, this guy wins all the time, and then they just change the channel.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, we don't need them anyway.
Our,
so
how's our viewership?
Yeah, exactly. What's you listening shit? Still listening?
What's 40% down 40% of zero?
Right, good one. Zero. I do know that math. So Lewis is going to Ferrari.
Yeah.
That's big.
That was like news. I was like, whoa, when I read that.
Yeah. I was also like, whoa. I didn't believe it at first.
Same. I was like, well, BS. I don't know.
You can curse. It's probably okay to curse.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. When I first saw, someone told me that Lewis was going to Ferrari, and my exact reaction was like, you know, he says that every year.
Yeah,
you
that
know,
sounds
it's
like
not gonna happen.
Just the kind of thing that someone would be like, oh, I read that, and you're like, okay, well.
I was like, I'll believe it when I see him like in the car on the grid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, apparently it's real.
Yeah.
So poor Carlos.
Yeah.
Carlos.
Whatever. He'll find something.
Will he though?
Maybe like he could be an au pair or like a nanny.
Yeah, like not drive anymore. He could rally race. That's what
his
dad did.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. But no, he deserves
a
seat in F1. He's good.
Yeah, so where is he going to go?
I don't know.
I know. Talk of him returning to Red Bull.
Yeah, returning to Red Bull.
Yeah, he raced for Toro Rosso in 2015 and 16 with Max. He was Max's teammate there.
What?
Yeah, and they did not get along.
That was before my time.
They did not get along. Their daddies didn't get along. That's the first mention of daddy issues on the show.
Oh, God.
I know. Joss and Carlos Sr.
Mm-hmm.
did not get along. I can't imagine getting along with Joss Verstappen, first of all.
Yeah, like, well, there's that.
Who's, like, friends with Joss Verstappen? Find me someone who's like, yeah, Joss, great guy.
Yeah, but it's just funny that, like, dad relationships would figure it. Like, I think a lot of drivers, like, whether their dad likes the other, their teammate's dad would be a non-issue, but Carlos is a little daddy boy, and so is Max.
Oh,
so
yeah, I
the
guess.
The fact that their dads would be even, like...
Carlos is a daddy's boy in, like, a good way, though, that, like, his dad,
yeah, his dad
like,
seems
he, like,
cool.
is, like, proud of him.
It's more like his cousin that
yeah, that's
weirds
weird.
Me out.
That is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that guy.
I don't know, but I don't like it.
I know. It does weird me out, too. You want to hear a Joss Verstappen story?
Sure.
So you know how he famously, like, left Max at the gas station once?
Oh, yeah.
So he also did this. I got a Max Verstappen book on my Kindle, and I read like a few pages of it. It's not very good, but I'm going to try to read it. I just realized I don't care about Max Verstappen enough to read a book about him.
Yeah, he's probably pretty boring.
Yeah, it's like...
That's kind of part of his thing, is he's just like a robot who drives fast.
Yeah, it's like how to make a robot driver. And it's like, practice a lot and have a dad who's obsessed with making you into a driver.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I got the gist of it after the first like 20 pages. But I like the guy who wrote the book a lot.
Okay.
So anyway, there's a story of Yoss. So he left Max at the track because Max like spun off in a race and was like, you have to walk home. And that was his punishment for not winning a race. And when he was like a kid, he was like 8 years old. And Max was walking home from the racetrack or like back to the hotel or whatever, you know, wherever they were. And some person like took pity on him, like a stranger, because they saw this kid walking down the side of the highway, like as a normal person would do. And was like, do you need a ride, child? And Max was like, yeah, please. And so he got in the car and got a ride back to the hotel. And Yoss was like, how did you get here so fast? You obviously didn't walk. And Max was like, I got a ride. Like, someone picked me up. And Yoss was like, this is ridiculous. This will not stand. And like, got in the car and drove Max back to the spot that he got a ride from and made him walk back home.
Yeah, that's bad parenting.
Yeah, that's generally looked down on.
And like, I mean, I guess it worked, or I don't know if Max is like a champion despite that. I it's hard for me to think it's because of stuff like that, because that does not a champion make. Like, that just gives you neuroses and like makes you need to go to therapy.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's to some extent proof that Max is like obsessed with being good and like refusing to be beaten, or just obsessed with winning. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I do think a lot of like athletes, like when you read their stories and about their lives, there's just like this level of obsession, and maybe they're like using kind of like, it's almost like kind of unhealthy mm-hmm. tendencies within them, but it does kind of like boost you to greatness, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's usually at a cost.
It's at a massive cost. I mean, he like had no childhood. All he did was just like race all the time.
That's part of it.
He would like race and then win the race. And then his dad would like keep him at the track and make him like practice all night.
Yeah. Like a good parent. It's like, I guess you want your kid to be the best, but like the cost is so high.
Yeah. Like, Max was like, please buy me a cart when he was like, you know, 4 or 5. And his dad was like, okay, but only if you're going to be the greatest race car driver in the history of race car drivers.
Yeah. But like, that's not what made him the greatest.
Yeah. No, but he did have like 20,000 hours in a kart by the time he was like 12, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. So there, I mean, is that, like, that makes you the
that
greatest.
Makes you the best. Yeah, yeah. And his dad is like responsible you for don't, that, you, no doubt.
Yeah. Right. You know? And I mean, but you can do that without being
a jerk. Right.
And putting your kid in a dangerous situation.
The funny thing is that Yoss was a Formula One driver, but he was like not very good.
He caught on fire.
Yeah. Once. Yeah.
That's his claim to fame. Yeah.
Yeah. And another one of his claims to fame was there's this clip of him that everyone likes to pull up on the, where he was just driving straight down a straight. And then all of a sudden there's a car next to him. And all of a sudden he just veers to the right into the car next to him. And everyone's like, how are you so bad that you, anyway, so whatever. So Lewis is going to Ferrari. Carlos might go to Red Bull, but then like, will Max like want him there?
Perez's contract got extended.
No, I don't think so. Not yet. I think it's up this year.
I thought it did.
But contracts mean nothing in Formula One. You know this.
I thought like just recently.
Oh, maybe
they reaffirmed it or something.
Yeah, but you know that contracts mean nothing in Formula One.
Maybe.
The other potential landing spot for Carlos is Mercedes.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But they kind of suck now.
Well, better to be at Mercedes than
Aston Martin.
Yeah, at least they have like the infrastructure to be like a good team.
Yeah, Aston Martin would be the other place he might go. And speaking of infrastructure, they're like building a team, but yeah. You never know. And then you'd have to work for what's his name?
Yeah,
Stroll.
Right. I'd rather work with Toto.
I'd rather die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Mercedes can't seem to put it together, which is part of the reason why I guess Lewis is leaving. They have just not fully grokked these regulations.
Yeah.
And despite, like, I think their biggest thing is that they just don't understand why their car is not going well.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's likely they'll continue to improve.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the feeling maybe a year ago, and then everything that comes out of the Mercedes camp continues to be less and less reassuring, because everything they say is like, we don't understand what's wrong.
Right. How?
And they lost a lot of good people. They do okay, like in like practice and qualifying, and then are like nowhere in the race, kind of.
Yeah.
So anyway, Toto.
Mm-hmm.
Said he wants to punch himself on the nose.
Oh, Toto.
I know.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah, punch himself on the nose.
On the nose? Yeah. What? That must be like a saying.
I know. I know. It's so funny, right?
Yeah, it's adorable.
But he was also somewhat optimistic, because he said that Mercedes have not swallowed a dumb pill.
Right.
It's just like full of amazing. Toto is the actual funny Germanic person, like not Gunther Steiner.
Oh, no.
Gunther Steiner is a joke. Like he is a joke. He's not funny. He's
gone
a joke.
Now,
he's
God.
Not gone.
What?
Gunther is like as popular as ever. They're like, Netflix is still following him around, and he's like the ambassador for the Miami GP.
Okay, but who cares about that? Like, I'm not going to see him.
They talk about him all the time. He's like I don't know.
Who
he's
does?
Like,
the commenter?
The podcasts talk about him. Like, we're talking about
God,
him.
Oh,
right
God. I haven't
now.
Heard
like,
any mention of him.
Ugh. Gunther is one
okay,
of those
Okay, what
people.
We're doing right now is talking about Gunther
we're,
Steiner.
I know. You're right.
We should be talking about Toto. Torger.
Yeah.
Come on the pod.
Yeah, Toto is.
And Susie
like,
is also invited.
Yeah, Susie's amazing. Susie, she's Scottish.
Yeah.
And speaks German.
The dream.
Powerful combination.
I know.
Yeah, so speaking of Lewis DeFerrari, one more thing I wanted to ask you was, does Ollie Bearman suck? Or is he good?
Just no one cares, because then. Carlos, wait, he was the one that
he was the 18-year-old that drove a Ferrari and got
yeah, but then Carlos came
place.
Back and was really good, and so we're like, okay.
Yeah, but everyone is like, Ollie Bearman, wow, look how good Ollie Bearman is. Oh, my God, oh, give Ollie Bearman a seat. Ollie
Where?
Bearman. Haas.
Oh, fine, sure.
Yeah, but I don't know, man.
Kevin sucks.
He kind of doesn't, though. He's kind of having a good year. I mean... He's thereabouts with Hulkenberg, who everyone says is like one of the fastest drivers over lap, and he's playing the team game at Haas.
He is playing the team game. He did that one thing.
He's doing that in Saudi Arabia, where he like held everybody up, which is hard to do. Believe it or not, it's hard to drive intentionally slow in a Formula One car.
Not if you're in a Haas.
This year it's harder, but to drive slow and keep people behind you, to be defensive and like to make it look good is a skill.
Sure,
like, that's
sure.
Hard
oh
to
my
do.
God, just anything in those cars.
Yeah, and he did it on purpose. And
I
like
Kevin Magnussen.
I love Kevin Magnussen.
I know you do.
I know. He's probably my favorite driver. And I would be sad to see him go. And the thing is Hulkenberg might be doing so well that his services might be rendered elsewhere.
Oh.
And then they could keep K-Mag and put Ollie Bearman in Nico's seat.
A little KO.
So K-Mag could stay. KO. Get it. I get it. I mean, I get it. I didn't mean, do you get it? I mean, I get it. I misspoke. But here's the thing about Ollie Bearman. He probably sucks.
Yeah. One race is not enough to prove it. And he's really young. So what's the rush?
I just think we're getting way ahead of ourselves with this guy.
Yeah. I think people just freaked out, but now everyone's over it again.
I just... Yeah, it was a slow news cycle. It was either like talk about Christian Horner or talk about Ollie Bearman.
Yeah.
But it happens a lot. Like there's been drivers in the past that have gotten really built up and then they turn out to be great big nothing burgers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a saying that it's easy to drive a Formula One car and hard to be a Formula One driver or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can easy to get up to speed, but driving 70 laps over and over and over every weekend and all that, blah, 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 is a whole different story. So
mm-hmm.
Christian Horner saga. I want to talk about
that.
I thought
you had like a little sound effect. Your hand was going toward the...
I do have a new sound effect. It's pretty quiet. Well, there you go. Whatever. I don't know.
Not how like a little awooka or something.
No.
Yeah, okay. Is there anything new on that front?
Kind of.
Or is it still all shrouded in whatever?
Here's what I wanted to do.
Okay.
I have a very abbreviated timeline of events, and I'm going to run through it, and you can just react. Yeah. You can tell me like, ooh, that's crazy. Oh my gosh, LOL, you know. And
what?
We'll go through it.
Okay.
So this is how it unfolded. Dun, dun, dun. February 5th. Dateline. Reports emerge that Horner has been accused of, quote, inappropriate behavior by a female employee. Importantly, she reports this to Red Bull GmbH, not Red Bull Racing. That's important. She okay. goes above the racing team's head.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it means it's a big deal. I mean, she doesn't trust that Red Bull Racing
yeah.
is going to like take, like, you know.
Yeah, like going against Christian Horner. Like, I
right.
yeah, I'd be like,
hey,
I'm going to go up higher than, like, than the right. racing team.
And worth noting, I guess, at this point in the timeline, that there's a massive power struggle between Red Bull ownership right now. They're 51% owned by a Thai conglomerate and only 49% owned by Dietrich Mateschitz's son.
Okay.
Whose name is something that I forgot. And the Thais don't like Horner. Or that they do, and Dietrich's son doesn't, or something like that. Like, one of the sides wants him in, one of the sides wants him out, and, like, nobody, like, there's a division.
Why don't they like him?
Because of this, I think, mostly, you know? Like,
Oh, like, the struggle wasn't happening before this?
I think that...
There's got to be something going on. I mean, people don't actually care about women that much.
I think that Dietrich's son wants an Austrian to be in charge, and maybe the Thais support him or something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, February 19th, F1 and the FIA make bland statements like blah, 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 blah. We don't have further to comment on this, but it took 2 weeks. And remember, these are the same people who were like investigating Susie Wolf for like,
yeah.
you know, so like, it looks pretty bad to like not have anything to say about, again, like women being sexually harassed by one of the most powerful people in the sport. It took 2 weeks for F1 and FIA to even come up with a statement on it, you know? And all their statement was like, we don't have anything further to say about it at this time. So mm-hmm. that looks pretty bad. February 25th was when Ford weighed in and said, as a family company and a company that holds itself to very high standards of behavior and integrity, we expect the same from our partners. We are frustrated by the lack of transparency surrounding this matter with us, your corporate partners, and look forward to receiving a complete account of all findings, which they never did.
Mm.
No one has.
Right.
Like, you know, there's been no explanation from Red Bull as to why they're... findings have not been released to the public or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. So that still hasn't happened. February 28th, 3 days later, the grievance was, quote, dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't, again, whether that's a language thing, like from Austrian to English or what, a legal thing, it was not found that Horner was innocent. It was dismissed.
Okay.
Okay. February 29th, leaked WhatsApp messages.
Right.
Nipple shots.
Oh.
Yeah, like
Horner.
Like
Horner's nipples?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, really?
I haven't actually gone out of my way to investigate what the contents of the WhatsApp messages were.
There was one that was like, just going to eat some Cocoa Puffs nips and go to bed. And everyone was like, why would this get leaked? Like, this isn't sexy. And then there was all this kind of like speculation that they were just fake, you know?
Yeah,
and
I thought like everyone was like, oh, these are fake.
Actually, I think that's probably likely, you know? Like, I don't know.
Man, they should have made them better then.
Yeah.
Really go for the gold if you're going to fake them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Some like weird stuff.
Right. Like, I think I left my furry costume at your place or something like that. Anyway.
No. Yeah. I mean, we're...
Being furry is not even allies. Right. Being furry is not even that weird.
I don't want anyone to feel alienated.
Right.
From our pod.
Right, yeah. The two
except
people,
for Christian Horner.
The two people who listen like turn out to be furries.
Yeah.
So anyway, furries. You're welcome. Furries unite. Yeah, 150 media personnel as well as the F1 and FIA presidents and all team bosses. Conspicuously, Jos Verstappen was not one of the people who, or Jos Verstappen was one of the people who was on this list, but he was the only person who was not media or FIA or a team boss. And so it looked like, oh, I got it too. As in like he sent it to himself to make it look like he wasn't behind it. And so like everybody's been like, well, obviously Jos was behind it because he like sent it to himself to make himself look like, you know? And so now everybody's like, well, Jos is,
I mean, we don't know.
We don't know, but it's like, it's looks more and more like Jos or Jos is like trying to get Christian Horner out. Because
yeah, he's spoken against him, I guess.
He does speak then against him on March 4th, but we're getting there. March 1st, F1 and FIA meet with Horner, and Horner like hugs them on his way out. So everyone's hugs. Like, oh, Ben Saliam and the other guy, the F1 president. March 2nd, Jerry Horner appears in the pit lane with her husband holding hands after saying she would not attend the races. Remember, at first she was like, I ain't going to no races with my cheating husband. And then after like the leaked text messages and stuff, she's like, I'm appearing in solidarity with my husband. So total change of face from which Spice Girl is she?
She's Ginger Spice.
Ginger Spice. Okay. Anyway, then March 4th. Jos openly calls for Horner to step down, saying the team is in, I don't know what he sounds like.
Jos?
Dutch. The team is in danger of being torn apart. It can't, that sounds like Toto.
Yeah.
It can't go on the way it is. It will explode. He is playing the victim when he is the one causing all the problems. That was Jos.
Okay.
So, March 7th, the female employee is fired.
Oh, no.
And a statement is not released by Red Bull Racing explaining why.
Damn, that's not a good look. Has she, like, come forward?
No, because she's, like, trying to stay anonymous.
Yeah. I mean, God, can you imagine?
Right.
Like, all that attention.
Then things get super spicy if they're not spicy enough.
How do they know she was fired, then?
I don't know how.
Okay.
Yeah, but it is known. Suspended, I think, was officially the terminology by Red Bull Racing for unspecified reasons. No statement released. Maybe they said they suspended her, but they just didn't release like a statement like explaining why. March 8th and 9th, Marco is rumored to be suspended over the course of the race weekend. And that's when Verstappen is like, I am gone if he's gone. Like Max himself is like, Marco goes, I go. And Horner's like, okay, let's go then. And then there's like a Mexican standoff.
What? How messy?
How messy?
Just all of this is so messy.
So like messy. Yeah, I know. Other team bosses at this point are like, there's got to be more transparency from Red Bull.
Yeah,
on
I
the
just
matter.
This whole. I mean, it just seems like there's so many pieces missing to this story. Like it's all jumbled up and doesn't really make any sense.
Right. The female employee on March 16th, which is the latest thing I've heard. It's been a couple weeks now, I guess, since then, lodges a complaint to the FIA Ethics Committee, which is like an actual legal matter.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that unfolds. Probably take months.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Christian Horner is still team boss at Red Bull.
Mm.
And was like the whole time this was going on.
Yeah.
Which was particularly unusual. I think in most cases, if a CEO of a company was investigated for sexual assault, they would at least like not show up to meetings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And public appearances, like waving hands, kissing babies and stuff.
Nipples
and,
out.
Yeah. So anyway, that all happened.
Yeah, I mean, my impression is that it seems like it was really poorly handled, and just what everyone else is saying, there needs to be more transparency and all the infighting. It's just like, I don't know.
Do you think Yoss is behind the leaks trying to get what's his name, Christian, fired?
No. I don't know. He seems like someone who like wouldn't really, isn't like a digital native. So like he'd probably, maybe he like hires someone to do something. Yeah.
He probably pecks on his keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. I think it'd probably just be, I mean, they're just like a troll.
Yeah.
Just like someone who's just like wanting to stir the pot or like just make waves or whatever.
Right. I do think he wants Christian Horner to be fired, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been pretty outspoken about that.
Who do you think is more important to Red Bull, Max or Christian Horner?
Max.
Yeah, that's a tough call.
I guess it's always been Christian Horner. Yeah, he's been there so long. But
Adrian Newey. Option C.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, I think the team might just crumble. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how all this turns out, because it's really a test of like trying one of the most powerful men in Formula One. Christian Horner has been at Red Bull for 20 years. He's extremely powerful, extremely influential, and extremely wealthy. And it's kind of like, you come at the king, you better not miss. And if he does survive all of this, I don't know. It's like, he might just survive all of it, is what I mean to say. Like, Red Bull might just be fine at the end of the day and like go on just with their winning ways. And like, I could see that going the opposite way and the team kind of like people not wanting to stay around, and the technical chief, Pierre Vacher, has been connected to going to Ferrari, which would be a huge deal. Adrian Newey was offered a Stroll deal. That would be a huge freaking deal.
Mm-hmm.
So like people could like start just not wanting to work with Christian Horner maybe, but maybe people just stick around, and I don't know, whatever.
I mean,
so
they can't just keep operating in this like
shroud of secrecy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's gonna be a hit for them either way, just because it looks really bad.
Yeah,
I would think.
Yeah, it looks really bad, and that is kind of, maybe Formula One's not boring, but Formula One certainly has courted a lot of controversy lately. It looks bad.
Yeah,
like the FIA president kind of is a jerk.
Well, he's trying to like
fix races,
which is really bad. I mean, no, you know, that'll make people check out if they think it's all just like a farce.
Yeah, and has been accused of like sexism himself and bullying and kind of just mishandling of a lot of important things, and not very transparent with the team bosses, and speaking of transparency. And so the sport, I mean, it's never been very, you know, there's been a lot of controversy in the sport throughout its history, but I think in 2024, it's like you're less likely to get away with mishandling things like that.
Absolutely. It's almost like people need to evolve, and maybe there are some people still in the sport that like haven't evolved.
Yeah, the team bosses, to their credit, like Toto and Zak Brown specifically, and Frederik Vassour too, are like, we have to be better, you know? And, you know, we have to like kind of keep up with the times, but the people who really hold the power to do that, like the F1 and FIA president, just kind of aren't. They're kind of not holding up their end of the bargain. So anyway, blah, blah, blah. One more thing to talk about.
Okay. Oh.
Let's take a trip to Kannapolis, North Carolina, babe.
Mm.
Talk about Haas. Doesn't that sound nice?
Oh, Kannapolis.
Kannapolis, North Carolina. That's where their headquarters is.
Wow. What a made up sounding name.
Yeah. And not the UK or Italy.
Yeah. Also that. I love North Carolina.
Yeah. It's a lovely spot. Shout out. We should move there.
We should.
Yeah. Get paid nothing to live in a place with a terrible economy.
Mm, it's pretty though.
Yeah. There's green. Trees. It's good. Got a good climate.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You can just
live off the land.
Yeah. Not have two pennies to rub together.
Oh.
Anyway. So Haas, this is our...
speaking of Haas.
So this is speaking of not having two pennies to rub together.
Yeah.
Haas.
exactly.
So this is the Podly Haas update. They have a fast car in a straight line.
Woo-hoo!
Maybe the fastest. Yeah. And their qualifying pace is good, like it was last year.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, so they've made it into like Q3 once. But better even than last year is they aren't knackering the tires like they were.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so they actually have race pace, so they can actually go racing.
Woohoo!
Which is kind of the point
yeah.
of Formula One, is to race the cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really cool. That's a good thing for Haas. And they have a new team boss, Ayo Komatsu, who's like,
oh,
yeah, remember Gunther's con?
Right.
Walking around.
I've never
the
heard this name though. Like, who
yeah,
is this
Ayo
person?
Yeah, Ayo Komatsu. He was their former technical chief.
Okay.
So he's been around Haas for a long time.
He's
Japanese. Ayo Komatsu.
Nice.
Yeah, and he's been around. He's a he's got a good reputation, in the pit lane, you know, and there's always the question of when there's a big change like that, like how much do you credit to Gunther and how much do you credit to the new guy? I'm giving all the credit to the new guy.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, because I don't like Gunther Steiner. And but obviously, like, you know, the new car doesn't just arrive on the day the new guy arrives. Like, of course, some of the development was done last year and stuff and whatever. But Ayu was in charge of a lot of the car development last year. Like, Gunther's kind of the one just steering the overall ship. He's not like in charge of the technical development of the car. But anyway, so splitting hairs, but they already have 4 points, which is the total number of points they got last year in races.
Yeah.
So that's really good. They're in 7th place in the Constructors' Championship, which is what they're fighting for. They're not fighting for race wins or anything, or, you know, drivers' championships, obviously. So they're doing really good.
Mm-hmm.
Nico and Kevin are cool, if not very friendly to the press. At least I heard that was true, but, you know.
Not that they're reticent, but that they're, like, mean?
No, I would say reticent is more, probably. You know, just that they can, you know, they've been around a long time.
They're grumpy old men.
Yeah.
They're younger than we are.
They are.
I think they're, probably. Like, my age. Yeah. I think Kevin's, like, my age. Mag.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, old drivers are like my age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alonso? How old is Alonso?
He's like 41.
Oh, he is. I mean, that's...
That's pretty old.
Yeah.
Alonso, man, he's... I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
He's not very likable.
No, he's not. I don't think you're the only one.
No, he's just awkward.
He's a little weirdo.
He is a little weirdo, freak. Right? Isn't he, like, when you see Drive to Survive and he's like in the corner, like, trying to make a joke, and everybody kind of just, like, looks at each other, like, is Alonso talking? Like,
yeah.
He's that guy.
Yeah, Alonso.
Yeah, Nando. Good one. Yeah, he's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, any thoughts before we run through the top 10 and the drivers and all that, and then I'll leave you alone?
About Haas?
Or just about, you know, Formula One, about life, about Fernando Alonso.
Mm.
Who's your favorite driver? I guess Charles still.
Charles Leclerc.
Even though he's not very good anymore?
He is still good. He just... I don't need my favorite driver to also be the best driver, first of all.
Yeah, but everyone was like, oh, Charles is so good. Now he's like not very good anymore.
Okay, well,
I mean, I'm joking, of course.
I know.
He's still very good.
First of all, yeah, he is, and it's not like, I mean, he's not the, like, powering his own hype machine or whatever, like.
maybe he should power his own hype machine a little bit.
Yeah, maybe he should.
Shouldn't be so freaking obsessed with Ferrari all the time.
Yeah, maybe. It hasn't really served him super well, but I don't know. You just have to, like,
what's going
to
happen when Lewis arrives and Lewis is like, this is my team now, bitch.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be in that position.
Yeah. Does Charles have the, like, the cron to, like, out, this is my teammate, Lewis?
No.
Yeah, no, he definitely doesn't.
Be like,
seven-time world champion Lewis Hamilton. Yeah, almost said Lewis for second. Like,
hello, Lewis.
Yeah, he'll be like, don't you love Ferrari? Lewis will be like, yes, I do, more than you.
He'll be like, let's stop doodly-dallying here.
Yeah, it's too much doodly-dallying.
I don't know how that's going to play out. I feel like they'll be like, there. It's not like there's going to be some like great rivalry or anything either. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
It'll definitely be interesting. Two top tier drivers.
I know, but Lewis is kind of like not been super dazzling this year.
No, he certainly hasn't.
He's kind of like on the down, you know, on maybe like his, you know, swan song.
Yeah, he has.
And then
he's in a bad car, though. He's not used to driving bad cars. That's kind of what people have been saying is like, George is beating Lewis because George is used to driving shits.
Well, that's silly. I think that's a silly thing to say.
Lewis is used to the car always getting better and better and better week in and week out and like maximizing all those like tenths of seconds that you can get out of like finely
refined. Whatever car you're in.
True. That's something that is a particular skill. Like Alonso is known for like give him whatever car and he's going to maximize it. Lewis is known for like, I'm going to start out with this car and we're going to refine it over the course of every weekend. And it's going to get faster and faster and faster and faster and faster every week. And I'll get the most out of that car.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different skill sets.
Yeah.
So that's the excuse, I guess. But Andy's like tinkering a lot more with the setup, trying to like find ways to make this terrible car faster. And George kind of isn't. George is more like, I'm just going to drive it like this. And I don't know. There's that too, but yeah, so
we'll see.
Okay, so driver standings, ready?
Sure.
Max, actually, this is the closest the driver's championship has been in a long time. So speaking of Formula One being boring, Max is in first, 51 points. Charles is in second with 47 points.
I wonder how he got those if he's such a bad driver.
Well, because Carlos had to sit out because he had a boo-boo.
Like for one race.
Yeah, but if he hadn't have sat out, he'd probably be leading the championship.
You don't know that.
I don't know that, but, you know, anyway. Checo's in third, 46 points. So only 5 points separate the top three and only 11 points separate the top four. Carlos is in fourth with 40 points. Oscar Piastri.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I feel like he sounded more Australian than he does.
I know. He's in fifth place with 28 points, mate. Lando Norris, who has a weird accent. He's British, but his accent's weird.
I know,
weird.
He doesn't. He sounds like American.
His mom's like
Belgian.
Belgian. There you go. See? Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 27, so Oscar's got more points than Lando.
Okay.
George Russell, weirdo, to 18th. Here's a funny thing about George. Everyone says he's like a hall monitor, you know? He's the guy that's like, oh, red flag, you know?
What,
he's always
when
like,
his like car is flipped
yes,
over?
Yes, when his
like,
car is flipped over. I know.
I think that's okay.
But
like, wow, what a...
True. That was probably appropriate. But he does have a reputation for like
being like, that's actually against the rules.
Yeah, and I thought that was
like the sign says you can only take one muffin, actually.
Right. Lando was next to him on the grid and Lando had a jump start and he was like, jump start, Lando. He was like it was like a perfect example of
Yeah.
Jump start Norris.
Like,
and everyone's like, yeah, it's, George, you're not wrong, we saw it. There's transponders on the cars that detect that kind of thing. You don't have to like call them out. We got this. There are stewards.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, well, just in case you guys didn't notice, I noticed. I was just saying, just calling it out. Right. Anyway, so George Russell is seventh with 18 points. Fernando Alonso is in eighth with just about twice the number of points that his quote-unquote teammate Lance Stroll has with 16. Lance Stroll has 9 points in ninth place. Lewis Hamilton, sadly, is in 10th. How the mighty have fallen. He has 8 points.
Mm-hmm. That's not very many points.
It's not very many points, and it's odd to see Lewis Hamilton all the way down in 10th place in a driver's championship. Mm-hmm. But, you know, such is the times. So Red Bull are leading the drivers, I mean the Constructors' Championship with 97 points. Ferrari have 93. McLaren have 55. So close battle between Ferrari and Red Bull. Otherwise, you know, McLaren distant third. But then there's a giant gap to Mercedes in fourth with 26, and then Aston Martin 25, and that's pretty much the top five. There's kind of like a top five and then a bottom five, because the bottom five have like almost no points. Visa Cash App RB Honda.
Ugh.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, just say like R. I guess they say like RB.
They say RB. And they're called
that
RB.
Is so like those are not good initials. No. Like RB.
RB.
It's just not good.
And their official name is Visa Cash App RB Honda.
Ugh, that's so weak. That is just a travesty.
But yeah.
Also, I don't care about the team. So.
We didn't talk about Ricardo.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, they have 6, Haas have 4, and then Williams, Sauber, and Alpine all have 0.
Oof.
Yep. So anyway, good pod.
Yeah, we juiced it. No. Why are you looking at me like?
I don't know.
I was trying to tie it into the
beginning.
Tie it all
together in a bow. Yeah,
you did. We were talking about juice.
Yeah, you did good. You did good. Oh, that was really quiet. I don't know why they're so quiet.
Really quiet.
That's just for anybody who made it all the way to the end.
Okay.
All right, cool. Good podding with you. Yeah. See you next time.
Mm-hmm. Bye.